and I have had communications from some of our friends that we don't see on a regular basis. Christmas is kind of that time of the season when somebody picks up the phone and says hi, or a card is sent or whatever. It's a reminder that there's people out there that are friends of ours. We don't talk to them on a regular basis, but occasionally we hear from them. And that's nice. It's kind of nice to hear from folk like that and get caught up on what's going on in their life, and you can share with them. It's a wonderful time of year, this Christmas season. It happens all too quick, though. It seems like it's here, and then it goes, and then we're back into the regular routine of another year. We have been looking at the Christmas season, we've been highlighting some of the things about it. A few weeks ago, I spoke on the power of Christmas, and I believe we looked at Isaiah 9:2 that says, "The people who walked in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." We emphasized in that sermon how it is the light of God that overcomes the darkness of the world, and in that it is a display of power, the power of God in a darkened world. And we looked at that whole concept around the Christmas theme. It's the power of Christmas. And then we also then followed up with a sermon last week on the spirit of Christmas. We talk about the Christmas spirit and what that is. It means different things to different people. People will ask, "Do you have the Christmas spirit?" And so we looked at that. And then we came to the conclusion that this is a season for giving. Just as the Magi gave, we recognize from the word that God himself gave to a world that was in desperate need of a Savior. And that at the center of the Christmas story, in addition to the power of Christmas, is this concept of giving. And that is the spirit of Christmas. It's not so much that you receive, it's what you give. It's these wonderful truths. We talk about the wonder of Christmas and why it's so special. These are basic truths that are part of the Christmas message. That's why it's so special. There's no other time of the year like Christmas. Just no other time of the year. A few years ago, I was thinking about a station said they were going to play nothing but Christmas music. And when I first heard that, I thought, Christmas music, boy, that's going to be a short day. You know, because I was thinking, you know, you hear a few of the Christmas carols, how long can you sing that? And then, of course, it was on a secular station. And then all of a sudden they started playing these songs, and it went on and on and on. They're going to play it right up to Christmas, and they hardly repeated. So I've come to realize there are more Christmas songs than probably any other subject. It's unbelievable how many Christmas songs there are out there, and we're hearing lots of them. A lot of favorites, you know, some of the old-time songs that some of us remember growing up as a child, and then some of the modern day. It's amazing how many songs have been written around the theme of Christmas. It's that time of year. There's that the power of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, and the giving spirit that we have. And this morning I thought I would follow through with, to continue along this line, after speaking about the power of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas. This morning I want to speak on the joy of Christmas. It's appropriate that we've sung some songs this morning, most notably, "Joy to the World." Joy to the world. The birth of Jesus Christ brought hope and joy to a world that was bound by sin. It's hard for us to imagine what that's like, because many of us here this morning were either brought up in a Christian home, or we're taken to Sunday school at an early age, or even if we weren't much of a churchgoer, we've been surrounded by the message of Christmas. And so when we talk about a darkened world, it's hard for us to really understand what that means, what it is. But imagine for a moment what it must have been like back in the day in which Christ was born, and different rulers were ruling throughout the earth. Some were kind, but many were evil and wicked, and it was oppressive, and people had faith of sorts, but so often they were persecuted, and many were tortured and martyred, and it was a difficult time. For some, there just seemed not to be any hope for the future, and into that world, at that specific time, God chose to send his son to come, and when Jesus came, it brought great joy. Let's take a look at the shepherd's joy. Again, you find this passage found in the Gospel of Luke. It's the second chapter. And we seem to every Christmas time, in almost every pageant or every play, you're going to, somewhere along the line, see somebody playing a shepherd. It's amazing. You know, you have a lot of kids. What are you going to be? Well, you'll be one of the shepherds. All the main parts are taken, but we always have room for one more shepherd. And it reminds us of the story of the shepherds. And it's an important story. It's an important story. And you find it here in Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. Let's take a look at it for a moment this morning, and then I'm going to make a few comments on it on this theme of the joy of Christmas. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The angels had gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Shepherd's joy. Think about it for a moment. And that night, everything was pretty routine. I mean, they had the sheep there. They had to watch over them and make sure that they were kept safe from any predator that might come along. And then they had this spectacular event occur. The heavens lit up, and this wonderful scene. It was a frightening thing, to be frank, when you think about it. It was a scary thing. I think if it had happened to any one of us, just imagine yourself walking out in the dark on a dark night somewhere in that distant place where you have your summer camp or wherever, and you're out vacationing, and then all of a sudden, you had an experience like that. I think you'd be frightened, first of all. It might come from heaven, but you might wonder at first where it came from, and you wouldn't know exactly what to do. It was a terrifying thing at first. And then the wonderful news, they had no need to be fearful, because they were going to receive the best news of all. "I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people." The shepherd's joy turned their fear. The announcement turned their fear from joy. for all the people. Some people, they question why we Christians feel it's an obligation of ours to propagate the gospel and to share the message with others. And the reason is, it comes right back down to the angelic announcement. This thing that was going to happen was good news of great joy. And then they said, it's for all the people. All the people. Not just for you and for me. Not just so that we can have this wonderful experience that we've had. But it's for all the people. And it was symbolic of what God was doing. He was announcing in that moment that he finally was going to answer the prayers of those who had prayed for deliverance from oppression or their circumstances. It was a wonderful message, and we today still hold this truth that the message of Christmas is not just for the Christian church, so to speak. It is for everybody. It's for everybody. Why don't you just keep silent? If you just kept silent and did what you did in your churches, that's what we hear nowadays, you know. You can do anything you want in your church. In this place, we don't have a lot of critics out there saying we can't say whatever here. Just as long as you keep it here within the four walls of this building. And yet, the angelic messenger said it's not just to be kept in one place. It's to be heralded throughout the world. It's for all the people. And what was that message? It was peace among men with whom he is pleased. And turns to the fact that God had chosen this opportunity to declare to the world his love for them. Let's take a look at God's joy. Shepherd's joy was one thing, but God's joy, the joy of heaven, is all-inclusive. It's for everyone. I was thinking about that. The angel in that 10th verse said, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings or good news of great joy, which is for all the people. And why is this important? Because, you know, life doesn't make much sense without Christ. Ask someone, what is life all about? Well, you got to be the best person you can be. Oh, really? Yeah, be the best person you can be. Well, how do you do that? And you'll get various responses to that. Well, you just try to be a good person. Oh, okay. And what does that mean? Well, you live right. You got to live right. It's amazing how many people use that as an excuse that suggests that somewhere there's this idea of what is right. And yet they won't come right out and say, well, you know, it's a moral code or it's whatever. They don't want to, they're careful about mentioning the Ten Commandments because they're afraid they'll offend somebody. Why do you live life the way you live? Well, you can't mention the Ten Commandments anymore because there's people out there that believe that, well, maybe I have some other way of living my life. It doesn't have to be by the Ten Commandments. It used to be a safe thing to say in this country. It's not safe anymore because we have such diversity. Diversity has become the new thing that we herald as being the absolute essence when it comes to regarding what is right and wrong. We have to consider diversity. Diversity. We don't all think the same. So what you think is right is not necessarily what I think is right. Well, God's joy was that he was going to share it with everybody, for all the people, and it's important because it does help us to make sense out of life. A man by the name of E.B. White, he lived back in the early part of the 20th century. He was an essayist for the New Yorker, and you'll best know him perhaps as the author of such works as Stuart Little and Charlotte's Web. And he was highly regarded in his day, as he wrote for the New York Times. And he expressed this feeling of futility in his little poem. It's a very short little poem entitled Commuter. Commuter. One who spends his life in riding to and from his wife. A man who shaves and takes a train. and then rides back to shave again. Futility. That's right? What he's saying is, it's all futile. You know, how do you make sense out of it all? And that's what it is for a lot of people. That's the tragedy. So when you talk about good news coming into a world where there's a lack of hope, a sense of futility, maybe even boredom, how do you make sense out of it all? The angel said, good news has come. And it's for everybody. It's to break through the barrier of boredom and the veil of utility that is there. It's to break through it all and give people a reason to get up in the morning. A reason to look forward to the future. God has spoken. God has done great things. God has sent his Son. What an announcement. In the midst of the darkness of the world, God sheds his light. By divine fiat, all of a sudden he interjects, brings himself into human experience, the birth of his Son. What a marvelous thing. That's part of the Christmas message. This great joy of heaven now becomes the joy of man. So God's joy can be experienced here on earth. For many, the routine of life has drained them of all hope for the future and joy for the present. And into that situation, God speaks and brings joy. Blaise Pascal, he was a 17th century philosopher and mathematician, a Frenchman. He's rather renowned for his writings. Didn't live a very long life. He was sickly through much of his life, but he wrote in his work, The Pensées, which is his thoughts. He had a lot of things he wrote down on paper. He was going to get them into a compilation that would be published, and he didn't live to see that done, and so he has these writings of his, and they were put together in a thing called The Pensées of Blaise Pascal. And he discusses the human condition, and this is what he wrote. He said, we seek rest in a struggle against some obstacle, and when we have overcome these, rest proves boredom it produces. And then he later stated, only an infinite and immutable object, that is God himself, can fill this infinite abyss. Amazing. As you think about what he said, as he analyzed life, people get bored in life. They're struggling for that moment of rest, and then they reach it. And then after a while, rest itself becomes tedious. And if you don't have God, you have nothing. The only thing that gets you beyond that abyss or that place of boredom or that sense of futility is God himself. He puts it all together. He makes it all understandable. It gives reason to being here, why we're here. Gives us joyous hope for the future. It's all because of God. God shines his light in the darkness and gives the world hope. And in that hope, there is joy for his people. That's why you ought to be happy at Christmas time. We know not everybody is. Circumstances of life weigh heavy upon some. The ordeals that they face, and we hear of these incidences from time to time, of people, the tragedies they face. They say that Christmas is one of those times that's really one of the hardest times for some people because of their circumstances and what they have attached emotionally and mentally to the Christmas season. What a shame that there are some who are still bound in their own understanding of life. With a sense of futility, they look to the holidays, and instead of experiencing the joy, they feel nothing but pain and sadness. For those people, they need to come into the truth of God's word and understand that there's much to be thankful for and much to be happy for. Christmas is filled with joy. When you stop and think about it, that in spite of who we are and where we are, God loved us so much that He chose to come and be among us, to experience the life that we live. In the form of flesh, He came. That's the good news. That's why there's great joy. That's what motivated the shepherds in a moment to leave what they were doing and to go to see this thing they had just heard had happened. The shepherds' joy came because God's joy filled the heavens on that night in that announcement and then filled their hearts with great expectation of what might be, and they had to witness it for themselves. It's God's joy that moved them, that motivated them. And they rushed to see this thing that had just been declared. God's joy. You see, God's joy brings peace. Suddenly there appeared with the angel this multitude in the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." The world's looking for peace. God is the only one who can bring ultimate peace. The world's looking for it. Peace is elusive. You think you have it, you think you've grasped it, and then in a moment, something happens. The sinfulness of man rears its ugly head again, and peace that you thought you once had secured is broken in a moment of time, and it's elusive, it's gone. How can we have the peace that we so desperately need? In that declaration of the coming of the Christ child, the word went forth on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. Jesus said this in John, the 14th chapter and verse 27. He's referred to as, you know, the Prince of Peace. God's the author of peace. And we have Jesus, the representative of this peace that God has sent to the earth. And John's gospel records this in the 14th chapter. Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and they are troubled over the awareness that He may not be with them much longer. And so Jesus is speaking to them, and He's calming their fears, and He makes this statement. It's tucked between other things He's sharing with them. He then speaks this in that 27th verse. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Hear me this morning. There are a lot of Christians who need to hear that coming from the Lord. We have too many Christians that are fearful over one thing or another. And Jesus said it. It's not just your pastor saying it this morning. It's Jesus who said it, and He said it at the most important time in the lives of those disciples. They were fearful of what might be. None of them really knew exactly the opposition, the problems that were going to evolve afterwards. They had some hints of it. They knew there was one who would betray. They had been given some idea of that. There would be a deceiver among them and one who would betray the Lord. But they didn't know exactly. It was a fearful time for them. And what does Jesus do? He looks into their hearts. He says, you're fearful of what might be, what lies ahead for you. But this is what I say to you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. A fulfillment of what the angels had proclaimed on that dark night. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And Jesus now, the Prince of Peace, is speaking it individually to his believers, his followers, his disciples. And he speaks that word to you this morning also. Whatever you're facing, how calamitous you may think it may be, whatever fears you may have, the Prince of Peace would come to you this Christmas time and say, peace be unto you. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I am with you. Hallelujah. The world can't give me that peace, but God can. There can be all kinds of agreements that can be made in the halls of Congress or in the United Nations, and yet that will not bring lasting peace. But just one whisper from the God I serve, speaking to my heart, he can breathe peace and speak it into my life. If I'll just take a moment to hear his voice. Fear not. Don't worry about it. Put your trust in me. I am the Prince of Peace, and I have come to bring peace to the earth. I bring peace to your life. It's part of the Christmas story, you see. Part of the glory of Christmas. Part of the joy of Christmas. It's hard to have joy if you don't have peace in your life. Do you know that? But if you can start with the peace of God and the Prince of Peace, the one who came in the manger, that little baby, he represents the peace of God. You start with Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I guarantee you can have joy. Can't have it without peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give unto you. Start with the peace of Christ. And then you'll find that joy will begin to flow out from your innermost being. Hallelujah. I've heard some people say, oh, Pastor, it's so hard to be joyful this Christmas. And then they'll say, why? It's because of this or that or whatever. Listen, you need first of all to start with the peace of Jesus. You need to allow his peace to just flood your heart and your life. And you're going to find, yes, there's always going to be things going on around you. There's always going to be someone out there, and they think it's their God-given right and duty to bring you down. Just don't worry about it. Just have that nice communion with the Lord. Let his peace fill your life. And all that stuff out there, it's just going to just be, you know, that noise, that busyness that's out there. Sometimes you're surrounded by it, and some people get all exercised over it, whatever. Let them do their thing. Let that go on. But you just have that communion with the Lord. Let him pour his peace into your life this Christmas season. And joy will arise out of your life. Not the joy that you've concocted. Not the joy that comes because of your creativity or what you've done or the things you've planned. It's the joy that comes from heaven. Heavenly joy. Instead of lamenting over what might be or what could be or the things that you're being presented with, you'll just revel in the presence of the Christ of Christmas and the peace he's given you. and you'll be able to really understand. You'll understand what the angels meant when they made that declaration on that night, peace on earth, goodwill to men. The joy of Christ will begin to flood your life. You see, God's joy brings peace. God is a source for world peace, and Jesus is the way to achieving it. That's what's so sad. Because there is an outright rejection of Christianity in many parts today, people wonder why that is. Why is it that people can get so angry about a man who lived a life of humility, a man who went about doing good, someone who ministered among the poor and the hopeless of the world, someone who did such deeds of kindness, who worked such miracles? Why get so exercised and so vehement against his philosophy and his teaching? Why? You wonder about that, don't you? There are other individuals who have lived. There are others who have written and devised certain ways in which they think we ought to live, and they've come up with certain ideas, and there are large groups that follow their teachings, and there are all kinds of religions. Not all religions are Christian, and yet there doesn't seem to be quite the same hostility directed towards these religions. In fact, just the opposite is, we need to be inclusive. You see, we need to be inclusive with everyone. Be inclusive with all of these ideologies, philosophies, and religions. Just don't be inclusive with Jesus. He said it. He would be the stumbling stone. The word says he's the rock of offense. You see, there's something about the nature of God and his son Jesus. You'd think the world would embrace the Prince of Peace and the hope that he would give and the joy that would flow from that. And yet, we have those that instead do everything they can to tear down and to destroy what Christ is doing in the earth. It reveals the power of God and the Word of God. I like that video we saw this morning. Speaking of the martyrs around the world who are laying down their lives for Christ. Struck down, but not destroyed. What a message. The world strikes down the people of God. The man of God, the woman of God, the young person who takes a stand for Christ. The world will attack and strike down if they can, and if they're able to, they'll strike that person down. And yet, the truth rings before us this morning. Those people are not destroyed. The martyrs that are in heaven today, because of their faith, and one day we too will see them, and we will be able to converse with them, and they will share with us how God's strength was poured into their life in that moment of trial and testing when they laid down their life, yet the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy of Christ filled them to the point where they took a stand and would not recant, and they actually laid down their life for God and for his service and the cause of Christ. Well, let's take it one step further. We see the shepherd's joy, God's joy, and how he's communicating it to the world. And let's speak a few more moments on our joy. John 16th chapter again in verse 24 says this. Again, the setting is Christ is speaking to his disciples. He says, until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. And then this phrase, so that your
joy may be made full.
I want to ask you this morning, is your joy full? Is your joy full? Put it this way, is your cup of joy full? Not your cup of Java. Some of you had that, and if you didn't, maybe your cup of joy isn't full then. But is your joy full? I didn't say, do you have joy? Because everybody here ought to say there's a certain measure of joy about something. But is your joy full? The reason I ask that is because Jesus said this. He says, you've asked for nothing, but if you ask, you will receive. And when you receive, then you're going to really experience your joy, because it says, so that your joy may be made full. You know, kids are great for asking for things in this Christmas season, aren't they, right? Remember as a child, oftentimes, what do you say to a little kid at Christmas time? What do you want for Christmas, right? We're asking people, what do you want? We're not asking just children. You know, you're asking your spouse, what do you want for Christmas? Because some of you, you live so long together, you've gotten everything that you can afford, and the things you can't afford, you're not going to be able to get anyway. So then you ask the question, what do you want? You know, as you get older, I can see why older people, the joy is in giving and not receiving, because what in the world do you, you know, you've got what you can afford, and you're not going to be able to get what you can't afford. So, you know, you reach that point where, you know, my dad for years would say, we'd ask him, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And he'd say it, I could hear him today as I heard him so many times say it at Christmas time, he'd say, just a little peace and quiet. Dad, come on now. It'd be so frustrating. We're wanting to, what do you want? He didn't need a new tie. Most preachers get more ties than they'll ever wear in a lifetime. And they're nice, and we wear them occasionally, but or cufflinks or these things. People think, what do you get some people? And Dad would say, a little peace and quiet. Just give me a little peace and quiet. You get to that point, you see. Joy. Do you have your joy? 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 3. You might want to turn there if you have your Bibles. We're going to read a few verses there. As we look at this subject of joy and conclude on this subject of the joy of Christmas. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with read with verse 3. I'm going to read this passage down through verse 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me just pause here a moment. Hear that reference? It's going to be revealed in the last time. Why does anybody need to be saved? Well, there's going to be a great revelation of that, and we're seeing more and more why you're going to need that. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, let me pause again, talking about the fact that some are going to be facing the trials of life. It's going to take faith. Hear me this morning. Don't let a trial or opposition undermine your faith. Everything is not going to go smooth all the time for the child of God. There are some people that preach that. I don't believe that. Sometimes the road really gets rocky when you take your stand the way you ought to as a child of God. So there is this trial of faith. And the apostle is trying to calm and give assurance to those who are going to experience that. Because some are going to say, hey, since I've become a Christian, everything seems to be going wrong. Have you heard that before? I've heard it many times. It's the testing of your faith. It's the trial of your faith. That's a normal thing that happens. Don't worry about it. It means probably you're on the right track. You know, we all want to be on the right track, right? You don't just want to live in those places where there's no stress all the time. Now, you think that's the best place to be. Hear me this morning. Sometimes the best place you can be is right in the midst of the fire when the pressure's on. Because oftentimes, fire and pressure, that's what produces diamonds. You know, something of value. Lots of pressure. Fire refines. Things refines that ore that you have that has precious metal in it. How do you know it's there? Put it to the fire. The fire refines it. What comes forth? The gold comes forth. The testing of your faith. It's important. It's part of Christian experience. So that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him. Notice this next phrase. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. There it is. We used to sing that song, that hymn, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Remember it? Some of you do. Some of you newer ones don't. But that's, believe it or not, that's an old hymn of the church. Take my word for it. It's one of those golden oldies, you know, in the church. Full of glory, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. Why can I sing that with joy in my heart? Because it's true. It's true. It's joy and it's unspeakable. It's inexpressible. What do you mean? Well, there just aren't words that can capture exactly what I feel in my heart. That's what you mean. You say, I just can't express it. What do you mean? Well, it's really experience-based. Now, I know a lot of people, they say, well, you know, you got to be careful of experience because some people, you know, they'll eat some mushrooms and they'll have some weird experiences, you know. That may be. But taking that you haven't eaten any mushrooms or taken any drugs or anything like that, and you're in the presence of Christ and you have one of those experiences, I'd say that's probably okay. It's that glorious experience. Again, it's an expression of the love of God and the joy of Jesus that fills the heart of the saint, the follower of Christ who's been through the fire, through the testing, and they've come forth as gold. Try me and I shall come forth as gold, and wash me in your blood, I'll be whiter than snow, and cleanse me, O Lord, and I shall be made righteous in your presence. And it's that person, that child of God that's experienced those things. It's joy that's inexpressible, unspeakable, and it's full of glory. It's the glory of God that's come down to man. It's not your glory. It's God's glory. You feel his presence, and when you feel his presence, you just don't know how to describe it. It's so overwhelming. It's something that's otherworldly. It's not of this world. It comes from heaven itself. Comes from our Father, and that's the joy of Christmas. It's a wonderful thing. I can't conjure it up, I can't create it. The best production that could ever be produced will not bring it about. It's something that must come from the heart of God. And when you are filled with the awe of what happened on that night so long ago, and you understand that you who are unworthy all of a sudden are the recipient of the most precious of gifts that God could ever give. You feel that overwhelming sense of His love and His presence, and you have no words for it. It's that inexpressible gratitude and joy that you have. It's the joy of Christmas. And you come as the shepherds probably came to that point, wondering at first about what had happened, and then it dawned on them, this is what it's all about. To be in the presence of the Prince of Peace, the God who is the giver of life, the one who has sent us heavenly joy. You all of a sudden are caught up in the wonder of the moment, and there's no words to express it. But you feel it, and it's there, and it's real. It may be experiential, but that doesn't mean just because I've experienced it that perhaps it's only for me, and perhaps doesn't apply to anyone else, and maybe isn't really real at all, and it's just something that my emotions has come up with. Oh, no! It's God that has touched my heart and my emotions, and I feel His presence. And the reality that you feel in that moment, that joy that you feel, you know it's real. Song once was written a long time ago. It's real. It's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know it's real. If you haven't had an experience like that, you need it. You need the God of heaven to invade your life and get you to a point where you know it's real. Nobody can convince you otherwise, because God has touched the heartstrings of your life and He's put His joy there, and you're overwhelmed in His glorious presence. And you know, Jesus, it is real. You are real. And He makes life worthwhile. He gives us the joy when there's no other reason to experience joy. When everyone else would say, oh, you ought to be angry with God. Look what you've had to go through. Look what you've had to face. And yet you feel nothing but gratitude and love. And in the moment you say, but Lord, you've been so good. You've filled my heart with peace. And in spite of what the world has done, in spite of what I've experienced, I feel your presence. And in your presence is fullness of joy. The joy of Christmas. How about it? Do you have it this morning? Do you have the joy of Christmas in your heart? Have you allowed the events of life to get between you and the Lord? Are things cluttering your life, so to speak, so that you can't see His glory the way it shines? Especially this time of year when our focus is on the goodness of God and His precious gift. Do you have that Christmas joy? Do you have that joy of Christmas that God has given us? It's never-ending joy. It might have happened a long time ago, but it's current. It's always current, because He is eternal. And when He lives in your heart and in your life, He's always there. His presence is there. And hear me this morning, His joy ought to be there too. Would you bow your heads in prayer? somebody here this morning, perhaps, might say, I know the Lord, but I have to say there's not a lot of joy in my life because of what I've been facing. I know He loves me, but I've kind of forgotten the fact that part of Christmas is the joy that He gives. But this morning, I believe, again, the Lord is speaking to my heart and reminding me of so many things that really I can't help but give Him thanks. And really experience the joy that He wants me to experience. It's there for me, I know. And I want to just say, thank you, Lord. And I want His joy to fill my heart the way it has in the past. Anybody this morning feel they want that joy the way it ought to be? Well, you can have it. A lot of it just depends on surrender. You just surrender to the Lord. Just say, Jesus, I love you, and I'm going to do my best. I can't do anything about some of the things I'm facing. There's not a lot I can do about what people may say or what other people may do, but I can do something about my relationship with you, Lord. I can make a determination to serve you and to be faithful and to take a stand and to really rejoice in what you've done in my life in the past. You've brought me so far, and your salvation, Lord, it's so precious to me. So God, I just choose to focus on that today. And then you can ask the Lord, say, now, Lord, just pour your joy back into my heart and life. Just, Lord, touch me again. I want to experience the full joy of Christmas as I ought to. A simple prayer for God's help. And God will, in a moment of time, begin to do something that you could never do. You could never create the joy and the happiness that He has for you. And He wants to do it right now. If you just open your heart, let Him do it. Let Him do it right now. Thank you, Lord. Begin to do it, Lord, in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. We're going to sing that little chorus real simple. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Sing it again. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Amen. Isn't that a great truth? Hallelujah. There's much to be thankful for. And I rejoice in the God of my salvation, and He gives me joy. He gives me joy when I ought not to be joyful. And sometimes, you know, you just say, but God, you're still in control. You're there and you love me and you've done so much for me. And I just choose to focus on that. Don't allow the enemy to attack you and to get you down. Don't listen to him. You choose to focus on the Christ of Christmas and what he offers. And the joy that he gives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give him praise this morning. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We worship you, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our lives. Blessed be your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you agree there's much to be thankful for, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. I just pray the joy of the Lord will fill your hearts to overflowing. And you know what happens when you have the joy of the Lord like that? It motivates you. It's a compulsion that's created within you to go and share with somebody else the good news. When the joy of the Lord just fills your life, it's like, you know, you're just bubbling over there. You got to do something. And the best thing to do is just let people know how good God is and what he's done for you and just share his love with others. There's so many people that just a word of cheer like that would lift them up out of where they find themselves. The devil, you know, he wants to bring depression and he wants to keep people down. He wants to destroy lives. And here you come along with that joyful word of the Lord that God is good and God loves them and God's going to help them. And if they'll just turn to the Lord, he'll do miraculous things for them. Just let the joy of God just bubble up and over and flow out of your life and bless somebody's life this week. That's what it's all about. The power of Christmas, the spirit of Christmas, and the joy of Christmas. I hope you have all of it. I hope you have the full package. You have it all. It'll be a great and glorious time for you if you stay close to Jesus. That's the key. Stay close to him. Stay close to the Master. Thank you, Lord, for your people. I know you love them. You care about everybody here. Our lives are all different. It's a mosaic of experience that we have before us today, but Lord, you're involved with each and every one of us, and you want to do great things. All we have to do is open our hearts to you and let you do it. And so I pray, Lord, that your divine peace will be with your people. May this be a glorious time for all of us as we celebrate the birth of Christ. May we be the kind of examples you would have us be to the world. May we be, Lord, your hand extended during this time of festivity and celebration. I pray in the name of the Christ of Christmas. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. Don't forget tonight. Tonight, Sunshine program will be here at the church.